The landscape of Belgium and northern France contains many reminders of the First World War. Some of the most moving are the innumerable cemeteries that are scattered over the area where the armies fought. For the British and Commonwealth soldiers, men from Australia, New Zealand, Canada, India, and many other countries, who died on the Western Front, burial places are maintained by the Commonwealth War Graves Commission. Some of the cemeteries, such as Tynecot in West Flanders or Etaples in the Pas-de-Calais, are vast, holding up to 12,000 graves each. Others are much smaller, and a drive through the area is sure to uncover plots that hold a few hundred or maybe just a dozen graves. The visual effect of the large cemeteries is astonishing. One looks out over an ocean of uniform white headstones stretching on, it seems, forever. But the smaller places are just as powerful in their way, each stone marking an individual tragedy and story of grief. Etaples Cemetery is on the site of what was once a military base, and most of the graves are of men who died of wounds in the vast hospital that used to stand there. Other plots are located where the men fell fighting. Sometimes they mark the furthest point of an attack, and the headstones face in the direction that the troops were advancing before they were stopped. Immediately after the war, governments of combatant nations were faced with problems of how to commemorate the dead, how to do something appropriate to the scale of what had taken place. At the same time, the government had to deal with the practical problem of what to do with the remains of the dead soldiers. The sheer numbers meant that it was impossible to repatriate all the bodies to their home countries. Allowing individual families to claim the bodies of their loved ones, however, inevitably meant that only the rich would be able to bring the remains home. Therefore, the painful decision was taken not to allow any of the bodies of soldiers killed overseas to be taken back to Britain. If only the wealthy could benefit, then no one would be allowed to. This commitment to the equality of the dead was revolutionary. Before the First World War, no one cared much about what happened to the corpses of soldiers. But Britain was changed forever by the war. No longer would it be possible to maintain a hierarchy of suffering when all ranks of society had sacrificed so much. Nothing symbolizes this egalitarian approach more than the headstones which mark each of the graves. All the same, irrespective of the rank of the body underneath, 76 centimeters tall and 38 wide, made from white Portland stone, they carry the name, rank, and age of the deceased, the badge of the regiment, and the date of death. For those many thousands of bodies that could not be identified, the stone bears the phrase, all the more powerful for its simplicity, a soldier of the Great War, known unto God. The families were allowed to add a short inscription, 66 characters in total, of their own composition. When thousands of such stones are ranked together, row upon row, and set in a tranquil garden of a cemetery, the emotional punch is extraordinary. It is not just France and Belgium that host such places. British and Commonwealth soldiers fought in many places, from East Africa to Southern Europe. No fewer than three battles were fought in Palestine for Gaza during the First World War. The final struggle took place in November 1917 and saw the Ottomans evicted from the territory. An unlikely connection between participants in the First World War is emblematic of the international and egalitarian nature of the CWGC project. The South African Native Labour Corps comprised black Africans recruited to serve as labourers on the Western Front. They were poor men who were forbidden to bear arms or even to fraternise with their white counterparts. Lord Kitchener, by contrast, was the grandest soldier in the British Imperial Army. Kitchener drowned in 1916 when the ship he was travelling in struck a German mine. The following year, up to 600 members of the South African Corps died when their ship sank. All of them, African workmen and British aristocrats alike, are commemorated on the same memorial in Southampton, England. No distinction at all is made between the names, so giving them in death an equality that prejudice and the powerful forces of history would never have granted to them while they lived.